Amen. I appreciate John Soper's videos. He's a well-known Alliance pastor, and he's been around for a long time. I think one time John was a vice president of the CMA. But if you go on our website, cma.org, or the alliance.org, they changed the name several times since I've been around, and I've been around that long, but they've changed it. But they have the core value videos, and they also have missionary updates or just things that are going around the Alliance. But you can click them and watch them. There's actually a Bible study that you can do with new believers or people who are new to the Alliance. It's called CMA DNA. I think I actually have the DVDs. But it's like a 10-week study that I've been kind of curtailing and making it into a sermon series. But it's pretty in-depth. It goes more in-depth than I'm able to do on Sunday morning. But if you have time, I can get copies if you're interested in learning more about our core values and our distinction as a denomination. You know, this topic of being filled with the Holy Spirit is a difficult one, first and foremost, because people don't like talking about the Holy Spirit. They know that they believe in the Trinity, believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, but they're not quite sure what to do with the Holy Spirit. We know that upon conversion that we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We saw this with Jesus' baptism when the Holy Spirit descended on him, and we know that the Apostle Paul had the Holy Spirit come upon him in Acts chapter 9 when he was on the Damascus Road and he was confronted by the Lord himself, and then he received the Holy Spirit. But we don't really know understand how he actually works in our lives. So today, this message hopefully will help us give us understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and why he works in our lives. For those of us who've grown up in the church, we're familiar with the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We are aware that the Holy Spirit is God, just as Jesus is God. However, rarely do we understand what his role is in our lives and in our church. There are many believers in the church today who know Christ as their Lord and Savior and have the Holy Spirit indwelling inside their soul. However, many people do not understand how he empowers us for ministry or how to live righteously. Or, if we do understand his power, we may be afraid to submit to him because we don't want to become uncomfortable where God may place us to accomplish his will. Take a look at this quote. Dr. Charles F. Stanley says, "Spiritual power is the divine energy God is willing to express in and through us and the divine authority needed to carry out the work God has called us to do. We cannot harness the Holy Spirit's power. This power is not just for preachers, evangelists, or people who work in special ministry. Rather, the Holy Spirit's power is available to every believer who willingly surrenders moment by moment in submission and obedience to the Holy Spirit." The reality is, if we are willing to have the Holy Spirit, and if we're willing to have him change our lives, he will use us in ministry and shape us more and more like Christ. Who doesn't want that? What a blessing it is to have the Holy Spirit. God, who indwells us, gives us a purpose, life, and a hope. God enables us to minister to those around us, to boldly proclaim his word, and have mercy and grace on difficult people around us. I don't know about you, but there's times in the world, my God, like, how come you don't just come down and wipe them out? You know? Like, you wonder that. Like, you look at the Old Testament, and you're like, God took out nations, but there's a reason why. God has grace and mercy, and we're his vessels of that grace today, 2,000 years later, after Jesus died. But it just blows me away. It's like, Lord, like, help me not be angry. Lord, help me to be righteously angry. Help me to be angry and not sin. And that's the hardest thing, folks. Like, thank God for the Holy Spirit, because without him, we've been able to do nothing. Our denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance, would not be standing here today if it weren't for God's Holy Spirit empowering believers to carry his love to the nations, surrendering all to him and serving and giving and being obedient to growing in more and more like him, in his likeness. As a denomination in our ninth core value, that without the Holy Spirit's empowerment, we can accomplish nothing, Dr. Albert Benjamin Simpson, our founder, and the first missionaries that went to him with Congo would not have been able to minister to there. Or Robert Jaffrey, a well-known missionary to China and Indonesia, wouldn't have been able to stand up to Japanese imprisonment without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He died, folks, believing the gospel. But he wouldn't have been able to do that without God. He couldn't have fought the Japanese. He could have fought the Japanese, lied about his faith, but he didn't. Why, you may ask? Because he loved God so much that he's willing to surrender his life to God and let it be yielded to the Holy Spirit and let him work through him. We can experience a changed life yielded to the Holy Spirit. We trust God to fill us with his Spirit. The question is, are you trusting God to change your life? Or perhaps there's something holding you back. Today, as we study the empowerment of God's Holy Spirit, let us begin to reflect on why we need this Spirit. What are we afraid of changing? What is it that we are afraid of him changing in us, and how he might use us to fulfill his will on earth? Today's primary text that was mentioned in the video is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 to 24. And so I'll give you a moment to get there. The reading of the word. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 24. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, and always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God and even to the Father, and be subjected to one another in the fear of Christ." And I'll read that one more time because it's powerful. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." So then, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And always give thanks to God for all the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God and even the Father, and be subject to one another in the Lord Jesus Christ." Excuse me one second. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is preaching on God's standards for the church. We know that the letter was written to encourage a fledgling church through the teaching of New Testament doctrine and Christian living. We know that this church was started by as a church plant from Priscilla and Aquila. You may recall in Acts, Priscilla and Aquila were missionary associates of the Apostle Paul. Priscilla, the lady, was really the spiritual guide, and Aquila helped her in that. But this is who Paul is mentioning in Ephesians, so just give some context. And we know that the Apostle Paul pastored and grew the fledgling church until he passed the torch to Timothy, the younger pastor. Once the torch was passed to Timothy, he mainly addressed false teaching and steered the church back into correct biblical doctrine and correct godly living. Mainly, this letter was written as an admonition and encouragement to the Ephesian believers and serves as an encouragement to believers today. Teaching on the filling of the Holy Spirit was part of this practical teaching of God's Word. Paul's main point in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, was that our true fellowship with God is not induced by debauchery and drunkenness, but the Holy Spirit's filling in our lives. And so in Acts chapter 2, if you guys are familiar with the book of Acts. So Acts 1, Jesus ascends into heaven, is about to ascend to heaven, and he empowers the disciples to go out and preach the gospel, make new disciples, and baptizing them in his name and teaching them everything he commanded. Well, in Acts chapter 2, it's about 50 days after the resurrection. It's a holiday called Pentecost. And I know the Christian church has it on the calendar, and we celebrate it. Evangelicals, we recognize it. It's important because that's 50 days after our Savior rose from the dead, but the Catholic Church and more kind of liturgical churches like the Methodist or Anglican celebrate. They have a feast of Pentecost. But so this is what happened. So the Holy Spirit was about to ascend into heaven, and he came upon the disciples. So in Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching to a multitude, I mean thousands of people, all different languages, and the Holy Spirit came upon the Apostle Peter, enabled him to preach the gospel so that everyone could hear. They call it, teaching of tongues. Well, there were some naysayers in the crowd, and they're like, "You guys are drunk. There's something wrong with you. There's something not right here." And I forget where in Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 2, verse 8, I think. But Peter chimes in and says, we can't be drunk, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Like, it's only the third hour of the day. Like, who gets drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning? So he chimes in and said, no, this is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul was talking here that, what are you filling your life with? Are you filling it with meaningless drink or meaningless sin? Or are you being filled with the Holy Spirit? And so that's what is really what's happening here. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a continual process. We receive the Holy Spirit's power upon our conversion as Christians. But as believers who are yielded to the Holy Spirit daily, we are continuously filled with His power. Because apart from God, we can do nothing. We need His power to live righteously. We need His grace and mercy to love difficult people. And we need His discernment in a dark world. By living under the influence of the Holy Spirit and under the guidance of God's Word, Pastor John MacArthur says that we can pursue pure lives, confess all known sin, die to self, and surrender to His will. Out of our own volition, guys, this is impossible to do and not to see lives change. But by yielding to the Holy Spirit, we can see tremendous improvements in our own spiritual lives and personal lives as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. This statement is true for all believers. We are made new in Christ. The stains of our past sin have been washed away under the blood of Christ. And if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we know that He has forgiven us and has given us a new life. However, we still live in a fallen world. We are tempted to sin. And thus, we need the constant filling of the Holy Spirit to help us in times of trouble when we are tempted to sin or live apart from God. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to say no to sin and to live a life more abundantly. Who doesn't want that? I know, guys, that I can't wait for the day where I meet my Heavenly Father. I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if it's 30 years from now. I don't know if it's 50 years from now. But there will come a day where we won't struggle anymore. And I'm grateful the Alliance preaches on continuous sanctification. There are some denominations who teach that you can be made sinless in this life. Well, that's not correct biblical doctrine. But there will be one day, folks, where we don't sin anymore. We won't feel pain. But that's just, you know, how the Holy Spirit works in us. But I'm grateful that that God lives through us, that we're not alone. And so in those times of trouble where we don't think God is there, let us remember that we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to say no to sin and to live a life more abundantly. We can experience true joy in Christ. We see this in Ephesians 5, verses 18 and 19, which Paul tells us to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from the heart to the Lord. How often do we do this? Let's think for a moment. When was the last time you spoke truth into someone's life or rejoiced over what God has done in your life? To be honest, folks, in our world today in 2021, it's easy to get caught up with what's wrong in the world or what's wrong with people's lives. Or what do I need to accomplish today? I mean, one of my confessions is I struggle with looking ahead, like new ideas or plans I have for the week or just people got to meet or just things I do for the wedding or whatever. But I rarely take time. I shouldn't say rarely. I do take time. But I struggle to take time for the Lord and set aside time for Him and make Him the first thought of my day. But what if, instead of, you know, setting all these things in front of us, rather we look through the eyes of the King and see what needs to be accomplished on His behalf and not ours? This is what the Holy Spirit does through us. He enables us to do this. He enables us to have joy in the world when everything seems so dim and to be the light of Christ in a world that is corrupt, angry, and hateful. The truth is, folks, we don't deserve God's grace, but He graciously bestowed it upon us because God loves you and I that much. As I mentioned before in my prayer, God chose to lead the 99 to follow us. And guys, we are that one. That's how much Jesus loves us, that He's willing to lead the rest of the crowd for one person. That one person matters to Him. The Holy Spirit convicts us of this and enables us to do things that were impossible otherwise, to love difficult people. We live in a world where at times, and I'm guilty of this, where we're at each other's throats, instead of taking time to learn that person's position. Yes, we need to call sin, sin, and address that issue. But if we don't do this in grace and love, we're not fully obeying what God teaches and we can't be effective ambassadors of Christ. Joy is not just an emotion that comes and goes, but rather joy is the assurance of love of God in our lives through every season of life. That despite what trials we face or whatever gets in our way, God is in control, and His grace is sufficient for us, even the most trying of times. I know this is hard as well, because we often think that God cannot move in our circumstance, or we limit God by putting Him in a box. We're like, well, God, I don't know if You can show up today. I don't know if You really can grow our church. I don't know if You can, heal me. I don't know if You can, give me a new job or, whatever. But instead of limiting God, how about we let God move? And I'm guilty of that. I know a lot of people are, but we'll just confess that right now, God, that we're sorry for limiting You, Lord, that you're so unincomparable sometimes, God, that we try to limit You to make You fit a mold or make You nice and easy, but God, You're not. And so today we confess that. We confess, Holy Spirit, that You just move in this place and that You move here, Lord. The Holy Spirit helps us the Holy Spirit gives us faith when we surrender to Him. This is a very difficult thing to do because we don't want to surrender in our own will. Jesus even wrestled with this. And let's take a look at Luke 22, verses 41 through 42. Yeah, Luke 22, 41 verses 42. And this is what Jesus says to the Father in His prayer. Father, if You are willing, take this cup from Me, yet not my will, but Yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to the Lord and strengthened Him. And being in anguish, the Lord prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. The fact is, folks, Jesus did not want to die for us, yet He did because He loved us and wanted us to spend eternity with Him. We may not be asked to lay down our lives like Christ. However, we may be asked by the Holy Spirit to do something out of our comfort zone, to shepherd a church, to serve on a missions trip, to minister to the poor and homeless in our area, or address wrongdoing in our lives and the wrongs of others. The Christian life is not easy. However, we are not alone as we have God's Holy Spirit with us to overcome every obstacle we face. Yet, we still struggle because we fall into sin, because we're not trusting fully the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in us. Instead of believing lies about ourselves, others, or if God really wants to change lives, the church, and the world, let us begin to believe what God wants to do and how He wants to use all of us. Because you and I, folks, have a seat at the table. We all have a purpose in God's kingdom. We all have a role to play in the redemption process to see lives changed and save the lost people God so desperately wants back. We have the ability to change the world, and this is only made possible through God's Holy Spirit. In verse 20, in Ephesians 5, verse 20. Lost my notes. Hang on 1 second. Sorry, I lost my place. It's the one bad thing about having tablets. Yeah, do funky things and... In verse 20, we see that the filling of the Holy Spirit helps us give thanks always for all things. I mean, hopefully everyone knows, Laird and Dorothy Crow, blessed missionary couple that used to be still part of our church. They're homebound. But they recently told me a story of their first missionary journey to Israel. And so I knew they were missionaries. I didn't know they were in Israel, but they were telling me this one story. Well, when they were sent overseas by the CMA to Israel, they were put on a cargo ship. And they said at times, it was cramped, it was really damp and just kind of dreary and just yucky. And the only thing they had to eat were like some crackers. And then they arrived in Bosnia, I think was their first stop on the journey to Israel. And they said, it just blew them away how impoverished Bosnia was prior to World War II, or right after World War II. They didn't have anything to eat. People were like eating dirt and like worms and stuff. And so they said, God, help us be grateful to even have crackers. Help us be grateful even the small things. And they said, when we were in Israel, They were there during the Six-Day War, and so that's when Israel fought off the Palestinian government, and won back a lot of land. It became a sovereign nation, and so they said at times we're given rations. We'd only have water or bread or potatoes to eat, but we still thank God. And they said, Pastor Matt, they're like, you know what's wrong with our world? People are so ungrateful. You know, we have all this stuff. We have all this technology. We have all these cars. We have all, all the money. We have everything. Yet, we have the true provider in our lives, Jehovah Jireh, but we don't thank him enough for providing his son to die for us. That's what's wrong with the world. It just blew me away. They're like, Pastor Matt, help people. It's like, you be grateful and help people be grateful. I'm like, wow, God, thank you for speaking to me. I need to thank God more to be more grateful. And it's hard being 26 years old, kind of going through life. And things weren't handed to me. I've had to work hard for, and it was God working through me to get a seminary degree, to get a bachelor's degree. But I've had a relatively easy life. I was blessed by two wonderful parents who raised me in the Lord. Didn't really have a difficult life. Yet there are times where, I've been so blessed that I forget to give thanks to God. I'm relatively healthy. I mean, I went to the doctor about 2 weeks ago, and I need to stop eating ice cream. And have you ever seen the Wilford Brimley commercials? He had diabetes, and he was like, I need to stop eating apple pie and ice cream because he was getting diabetes. And I'm like, well, Lord, I think maybe you're showing me something through my cholesterol check that I need to stop eating ice cream. But that's another story. But I'm relatively healthy. I have a soon-to-be beautiful future wife, soon-to-be wife. Yet, I'm often unhappy and ungrateful. Why? Let's pause on that for a moment. Why? Often we are ungrateful because we don't put our time and energy what God wants out of us. I believe we spent more time with God in his word and giving him thanks for what he's given us, the church and world to be a better place. Practically, a way in which we can do this week is to write down 10 things we are grateful for and pray how God can change our lives as a result of our gratefulness. Often, gratefulness leads to joy and a fulfilled life. The Holy Spirit enables us to be grateful. We just need to learn to lean in his strength. And finally, the filling of the Holy Spirit helps us be subject to one another, and this comes in verse 21. When reading this passage, the word subject stood out to me. When I think of the word subject, I think of a king and all of his subjects. Someone who's under the authority, or people that are under the authority of a ruler. The use of subject that Paul is using here is that through the Holy Spirit's leading, we as Christians are to be properly submissive to one another. No Christian is greater than the other. We're all subject to one another. We are all equal in God's eyes, and at times we need to correct our brother and sister in Christ, who may be older or less mature in faith, myself included. I am subject to other Christians correcting and rebuking in my life. Though this is difficult, this is God-honoring and a sign of walking in step with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I think it's honestly being hard being corrected by believers or someone who may be not lesser in faith, but kind of newer, and they call you out, and it's like, God, like, is that you? Like, what am I doing wrong? And I don't necessarily like correction. I don't know who does, but we're called as brothers and sisters in Christ to call sin sin and to call each other out in love and grace and to correct each other. And so if you ever see me slipping up, correct me. Just because I'm your pastor doesn't make me better than you. And I want to make that very clear. If you see something I'm doing, call me out. So, because if I call you guys out, I should expect the same, from me. It's not that I'm arrogant and thinking, people can't help me, but I think at times everything is just nice and neat in my life and I'm comfortable where I'm at. However, this is not what God wants for us, folks. We get comfortable with ourselves or wherever he's placed us. We can get complacent and forget about what he has called us to do, to go and make disciples of all nations, teach them everything he has commanded us, and baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sure, this is a tall order and often difficult task to accomplish on our own. Thankfully, as a part of a body of believers that loves the Lord, we want to see the church grow, and we are not afraid to call brothers and sisters out in their sin. Church, we need the filling of the Holy Spirit to impact the greater sea church, the big church, so we can reach the lost in our area. We need him to change our hearts first before he changes theirs. There's a song. There's a new Casting Crowns song that came out. It's kind of convicting. And it talks about, you know, we got a rock star preacher, we got coffee in the lobby or whatever, looking at these big churches. But if we don't have God, then there's no point. And it's like, and the change has got to start right here. A lot of times, folks, why people, not saying this is our church, true of our church, why a lot of churches don't are not effective in the gospel witness of the Lord is because they have heart issues. And they're not seeing through their heart issues, and God's not allowing them to reach people because they haven't dealt with their self first. So if there's any unconfessed sin in our own lives or that we have against another, let us lay that down at the altar today and ask the Lord to heal our church and to heal the church in general. God is not done with you and I or in our church here in Butler. I believe that the core of my soul, and I know you guys have heard me preach on it, but I really believe it. I know I've been saying it for the past like 6-7 weeks, but I really believe that God's not done. You and I have to be willing to surrender what we want and seek what God wants and what is best for his kingdom. Let us yield to one another as we yield to the Holy Spirit's direction in our lives. Then, and only then, will we see true life change in our church and see it grow and see droves of people in Butler commit their lives to Christ. Let today be the day that we declare as Crossings Alliance Church that we decide today as believers we will live a life yielded to the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can do amazing things in and through our church. As we close, and I invite the worship team up, and before I pray, I'd like to leave you with a quote on the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and how it can change our lives as well as our church. Everyone knows D.L. Moody, or hopefully know D.L. Moody. He was one of the greatest preachers of all time. D.L. Moody, along with A.B. Simpson, along with Billy Sunday, were great preachers during the holiness movement, kind of the second great awakening of our nation. And D.L. Moody actually was a poor shoekeeper, selling shoes in a shoe cobbler, I think is the right term, selling shoes in the streets of Chicago. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, and he became a pastor. This is what D.L. Moody says about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. D.L. Moody once said, "I firmly believe that the moment of our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and self-seeking and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Ghost will come and fill every corner of our heart. But if we're full of pride and conceit and ambition and self-seeking and pleasure and living in the world, there's no room for the Spirit of God. And I believe many a man is praying to God to fill him when he is already full of something else. Let us begin to walk in the freedom of Christ, freed from our past sins, present and future sins, and walk in the love and hope we have in our Heavenly Father. Let us cast aside every selfish thought and ambition, lust or self-seeking pleasure, and everything our heart desires more than God. Let today be the day we surrender those desires and desire God more than anything else we can imagine in this world. Let us then be amazed with what God wants to do through our church and how he wants to bring his kingdom here to Butler. Let us pray and join as we close. Heavenly Father, God, I'm thankful for the filling of your Holy Spirit in my life. God, I'm thankful that that we don't have to live this life alone. Lord, that you've empowered us to study your word, to live a righteous life, God. Not that it's legalistic, but Lord, that you pick us up, Lord, when we fall. Lord, and I'm grateful that you say that your burden is light, Lord, and I'm grateful that we have an advocate in the Holy Spirit that prays on our behalf, Lord, that you go before us and you give us new life and you give us a purpose and you help us navigate this dark world, Lord, with everything going on with COVID, with critical race theory, with all this stuff, Lord, that's trying to shift people away from your truth, God. But I'm thankful, Holy Spirit, that when you indwell us, you help illuminate truth in our lives through the Bible and other believers speaking the word to us, Lord. But today, Lord, I pray that we leave here changed. Lord, I pray that today would be the start, that we start living for you, that our community live for you, God. And I pray for my other brothers that are leading Alliance churches in the area, God, that they'd be a light to you, Lord, that we'd be one light. We wouldn't be three separate lights, but one giant light of Jesus Christ in this community, Lord. I pray, Lord, you continue to bring people, Lord. I'm blessed to have new families here, Lord, that love you, that are so desperate and hungry for you, God. But Lord Jesus, I pray that you move today, Father. It's in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit that I pray. Amen. Let us stand for the closing hymn, Jesus Only. Jesus only is our message, Jesus all our theme shall be. We will lift up Jesus only, Jesus only we will see. Jesus only, Jesus ever, Jesus all and all we sing. Savior, sanctifier and healer, glorious Lord and coming King. Jesus only is our Savior, all our guilty bore away. All our righteousness He gives us, all our strength from day to day. Jesus is our sanctifier, cleansing us from self and sin. And with all His Spirit's fullness, filling all our hearts within. Jesus only is our healer, all our sicknesses He bear. Jesus is in life and fullness, all His members all may share. Jesus only, Jesus ever, Jesus all in all will sing. Savior, sanctifier and healer, glorious Lord and coming King. Savior, sanctifier and healer, glorious Lord and coming King. Jesus, You are Savior, sanctifier, glorious Lord and coming King. Lord, we thank You that You are our Savior and that You continually sanctify us, Lord. And I pray, God, that we'd feel Your Holy Spirit move in this place, Lord, that we'd feel refreshed. And I pray, God, that today, as I mentioned before in my last prayer, that You'd just move today, Lord, in our lives and that You start healing relationships, Lord, that You'd use us to heal those relationships, Lord, that if we have any wrongdoing against a brother and sister, that we confess that, Father. We confess sins that may be hidden, Lord. You know our hearts, Lord. You know every thought that we have and every thought we will have or thought we've ever had. But God, I pray that we just lay things at the altar today, and I pray that we just live in freedom. We live in Your grace, and I pray, Lord, that we live surrendered to You. Not that we're hopeless, Lord, but living in the freedom that we know that we are alive in Christ. And Lord, I pray that we just leave here blessed and refreshed in Your name. It's in Your Son's name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.